I do have some allergies, and it's bothering me this morning. So I will hopefully get better as the time progresses. We're in the books of Peter, and we're in 1 Peter, the first chapter. We're going to be starting verse 10, we hope. I made some changes in my slide last night about 10 o'clock, and I tried to save it. I had an error come up in my PowerPoint. And so it told me to save it and close it down. Well, that was the problem. I couldn't save it. So I did close it down. Well, I have a number of these different presentations, but only one of them is correct. So I'm hoping this is the correct one. We'll find out. In the introduction, Larry talked about who is Peter addressing this book here to? All right, pilgrims, what's another word? Strangers, foreigners. I like pilgrims personally myself. And are we pilgrims?
Yes.
Okay. This letter is very much to us too. When he says pilgrims, what is he talking about? How come we're pilgrims? You talking about Bowling Green?
This life, passing through this life on to the next, and our, you know, this is not permanent. We're just pilgrims. We're somewhat wanderers. The analogy and the type really is the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness. That wasn't their home. They were looking for a better place, and that's the same thing with us. This is not our home. We're looking for a better place.
That's right. This earth is not our home. This earth is going to be destroyed. This universe is going to be destroyed. The heavens and earth is going to be destroyed. And we just have a short period of time while we're on this earth. And that's what he's beginning to talk about. And to me, the whole first chapter is part of his introduction. We'll get into some more in chapter 2 when he starts talking about suffering and persecution. And of course, being of the pilgrims of dispersion, you would think, particularly some of the Jews, that they were being persecuted, and that's the reason they dispersed. But you think about it, though, these are Christians, and so wherever they're going to go, they're going to be talking about Jesus Christ. They have found the Messiah, and what has been revealed to them, the new kingdom, and so you can see that they're not only going to be talking to other Jews, but they'll be talking to their neighbors, the Gentiles, and everything like this. So he's talking about the pilgrim, he's talking about the Jews and the Gentiles, that you're just wandering through this earth. We have a heavenly home, and we're going to be talking about some of that today, but if you look in the ninth verse before we get into 10th, he says, receiving the end of your faith, okay? Well, you got a faith and you're going to be obedient. Well, what's the end result? The salvation of your soul. And that's what he begins to talk about here, salvation. There is an end result as our journey goes through. We're going someplace. We're looking for someplace, and we have this hope and this faith. This is what we're looking for. This is what we shall receive. And we believe what God has promised to us, what's going to happen. And he says if we are faithful to him, we shall have a home with him. And we will have this salvation of our souls. Not this earthly body, but our souls shall live in eternity. And there's only two places you can go. Heaven or hell. That's only it. And the majority of the people you know are going to go to hell. But he's trying to tell you, if you're obedient, Peter is telling them that if you just hold the faith until the very end, you shall have salvation. And let me tell you, there's a remarkable difference between heaven and hell. Tremendous difference. And he is encouraging them and says, the choice is yours. It's always been our choice. I can't get you to heaven. You can't get me to heaven. I have to choose and to be obedient or not to be obedient. And that's what Peter is talking about and telling them to be, hold the faith. I know you're going to go through some persecution. You're going to go through some suffering. But stay the course. Don't waver with this. All right, let's go ahead and begin. Oh, man. There we go. Verse 10. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Okay. Verse 10. He said, now of this salvation, which we just spoke about in verse 9. Now of this salvation, the prophets inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come. Now, what does that tell you about the message? Does it tell you anything? That the prophets have inquired and searched carefully.
They were teaching of the Messiah that was going to come.
Okay.
But it was something that was very important to them, even in their time, at a time they didn't understand what the whole plan was about.
No. They prophesied. But did they understand it? They knew it was coming. They were revealed it to them. This is in the future. And that's the reason they are looking and inquiring. It says, about this salvation Peter introduced in verse 9, there is more than that he desires to write in relation to the prophets who predicted it. As far men had no advantage over one in understanding the revelation, each had to use his own mind and language of the revelation to understand it. Did he understand it? No. It wasn't really written for them. It is a prophecy. It tells us about what's coming. Okay. What is use of prophets or prophecies?
Huh? To tell the future.
Tell the future. What else?
Confirm.
Yeah, if it was, say, prophesied 1,000 years, just using a number ahead of time, and this happens, would you begin to pay attention to it? Would you inquire about it? Would you look into it? He prophesied, these prophets, the Holy Spirit gave them the information from God, and he tells them, this is what's coming. Now, the prophets were so interested in it. What was that be to happen? That's the reason you know this is true. This is not their interpretation. This is not the prophets telling you what they think or what this means. It's not, because they didn't understand it. But he tells them, this is what's going to happen. And so they were curious about it. And the only thing they can use is their mind and look at the language and try to figure it out. What is he talking about? What is coming down? What is coming with this? And he says, now let's go to verse 11. Oh, wait a minute, I forgot. Matthew 13, 16 to 17. He says, blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. What it says, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you're hearing, what you're seeing. Some of you saying Christ. Some of you, now you're hearing about it. The prophets was wanting to see that. From the first, those whom God used as a mouth for his message concerning these days wanted to know about what they were predicting. But it was not revealed to them. Now let's go to verse 11. Searching what? Or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them, the Holy Spirit that was in them, the prophets, was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. All right, now you have a little bit more. You know that the Messiah, that the Christ is going to be suffering. But what afterwards? Glories that would follow. They were searching for this, and they were wanting to know, well, when is this going to happen? When is this coming about? You can see how curious they are. They're prophesying these things. God has revealed to them, but they don't know when it's going to happen and all this other stuff about it. But they're looking for it. They're searching it. Then he continued in verse 12. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Things which angels desire to look into. Search as these prophets might to know precisely the fixed time and the significance of it. God spoke to them that what was predicted in their ministry was not for them to enjoy, but it was for the time of Peter and his people in this era. It wasn't for them. It's prophecy and telling about Christ, the Messiah, his suffering, but they didn't know when. And that's the reason why they were searching for it. The apostles and other inspired men were under the same influence. The Holy Spirit that was with them, they were under the same influence. And it was through this influence and direction that they announced their message of redemption. That salvation that they were talking about, Peter was talking about, you keep that hope for you because of that salvation, the soul shall be saved. Now, this is what it's coming about. He's telling us this same Spirit, the Holy Spirit now, is revealing it to us, the apostles here. This is what the message is. Now we can understand what the mystery was to them. It's no longer a mystery because it's been revealed. The Holy Spirit is revealing God's mind to us. Now, this is the time. They were looking, when was this going to happen? What matter what's going to happen? He says, now it is happening. This is the time for salvation. The Holy Spirit has revealed it to us, and we are revealing it to you, the message that God has about salvation and redemption. And you see how important this message is? These people, these prophets, were desiring to know what was going to happen, what this message is, and when it was coming about. But it wasn't for them at that time. It was not time. It was not in God's plan. But now it is in God's plan to reveal it to them through the apostles what he meant. Doug?
I think it's interesting to note there, verse 12, where he says, it's now been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, which the angels desire to look into. We have several religious bodies on the planet today who base their doctrine upon something they say an angel gave to them.
It is. The prophets predicted, here the last part, the prophets predicted it had a keen interest in the message and witnessed by that, their investigation, their search. It shows you that they were interested in it. But see, angels were also interested in it. He says, Doug was talking about things which angels desire to look into. All right. Well, but there are so many men that care not for to understand or obey the message. We have denominations out here that are preaching something entirely different than what the apostle preached. And what he's telling you, he says, look, these people were so keen into it, they were desiring to know, well, why are men today have that same keen interest, that desire to look into it? Here's the message. It's been revealed. Why aren't you still interested in this like they were? And it says that angels, they desire to look into it. But look at what Doug said. They desire to look into it, but did they know? It wasn't revealed to them. The Holy Spirit revealed it to the prophets. Now the apostles revealing that secret, that message that about redemption and salvation. And then the Holy Spirit is the one that revealed it. Not anybody else, like Doug says. The Holy Spirit is the one. But where is our interest into the Word of God? Let me tell you, they were so keen about it, they searched it. They looked for it. Are we searching and looking for it? We have it in front of it. Do we look at it? Do we practice it? Do we teach it? Do we have that same desire for it? We're talking about salvation here, what he's presenting to us. Let me tell you, this is valuable. And this is what Peter is getting across to these pilgrims here. He said, you have a short time. You're wandering through this earth, this world. Take a hold of it. Look into it. Examine it. And practice it, obey it, and believe it. It's God's words. It's important. Very important. Anything else? Anybody have?
Well, it strikes me that this verse 12 shows us that the authority to deliver the message was put in the Holy Spirit's charge, not angels. So when somebody wants to elevate the role of the angel for today's revelation, this verse shows that is not acceptable.
Okay. Or some other man. You have very number of denominations that men tells you, this is what I have received. I've received this, and this is what you need to learn from this. No. Peter is telling you, you got one source right here. That was revealed by those inspired men back then. The message was revealed. And it's been prophesied. Now, you look at the prophecies. That's the reason prophecies are very important. It just confirms Christ, the Messiah, what he taught, what he lived, and what he preached. And it confirms what the apostles taught. And we need to pay attention to these things. Anything else? All right, verse 13. All right, Peter says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lust, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, You also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. All right. What do you mean, gird up your loins? What figure is he using there, which they are familiar with?
Preparation of the Roman soldier to go into battle.
Okay.
And the first gird is loins, putting on the most basic layer of what would become a part of his armaments.
All right. How about for the common people? Does that apply to them too? All right. How did they dress back then? The men had what? Long flowing robes. Now, I have never really wore one of those robes, so I don't know. But to me, it looks like it's very cumbersome if you go out. And if you're going to be walking for an extended period of time, I sure wouldn't want to do that. So they would gird it up, tighten it up, loose that loose clothing, made it tighter, either with a belt or a girdle. So they can do the walk or the work or the garden, whatever, some physical activity. And that's what he's telling them here with it. Gird up the loins of your mind. The mind is spoken of as having loins that likewise must be prepared to be without hindrance. That's what the flow, that's the reason you gird it up, so you would not be hindered. You wouldn't trip. You wouldn't fall. You wouldn't stumble. Well, that's what you're trying to gird your mind up, so that you don't fall down, so that you don't stumble with it. It's a perfect analogy for them back then. They are engaged in serious business and being recipients of God's grace and deliverance. They have come to the point of preparation for what is before them as pilgrims or strangers in the world. He's getting the point to them that he keeps, you know, these pilgrims, these strangers here, you got, it's preparation. Be prepared. And that's preparation is for you and I. We need to be prepared. Yeah, we're here Sunday, and it helps us all to be here together, edify and grow together. But how about the rest of the weeks? We're going to be out among the world. Be prepared. Have your mind girded up. Think about it. He tells them also to be sober. Sober, to be calm and collected in spirit. To be temperate, dispassionate, circumspect. That's from there. Being what God and Christ want us to be in relation to them means that we must stay on an even keel, not tilling this way or that way. We must keep our moral equilibrium lest we stumble into sin. We, sure.
The battle that's going to be fought in verse 13 is going to be given by the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel.
Okay. Anybody else? Pax.
I think an important connection is that in verse 13, that word there, order, it harkens all the way back to verse 3 and 4.
Yeah.
Where he talks about the hope is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and does not fade away, reserved for the Lord. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. All the rest of it was all talking about that salvation.
Thank you. Good. For us to be sober, and he talks about, you know, when you're not sober, you're inebriated. That means you can't walk a straight line. What he's talking about is we are on a path. The path is narrow, okay? The way to heaven is the narrow path, narrow road. And you want to keep it focused on that. You don't want to stumble off of that path. You want to keep your equilibrium. You don't want to become dizzy. You don't want to stumble. You want to, do not want to get off that path. And he's telling them this, you know, people, he's telling these things because it's not an easy job. He's reminding them, especially with what's coming up. It's not an easy task. When you go out into the, it's easy here, but when we go out in the world, you're going to be bombarded with everything. People will try to make you stumble. They think you're good. They want you to mess up. They want you to get down on their level. No. Keep yourself pure and holy. You got your mind fixed up on God, Jesus. And you think about them, how pure, righteous they are. That's where your focus is. That's the reason this studying, meditating upon the Word constantly, searching this, because we got a valuable lesson here. If we apply the words of Christ here to our everyday walk of life, it will make it much easier, but we need strength. Because once you get out the world, they're going to beat you down. When you get back, renew yourself with God's Word. Think about it. Hope fuses together both the desire for heaven and certain expectation to be received at the second coming of Christ. What did he tell them? Keep that obedience, that hope, that keep that faith called salvation. That's in front of your mind. You just think about it. You will be having a home with God and Christ. What a wonderful thing that would be instead of have a home with the devil or Satan and live with him in eternity. That's horrible. Keep your mind upon the pure things. Keep your mind upon Jesus and upon Christ. And keep him in forefront in your mind as your daily walk. Anything else anybody has? All right, verse 14. As obedient children. Now, how many of you like to have obedient children? When my kids were young, yeah, I enjoyed that. Did it always happen? Nope. Does it always happen with us? Are we always obedient children? Nope. Not conforming yourself to the former lust. Remember how you were as in your ignorance. Look at your past life before you had Christ in your life. What kind of life was it? It wasn't grand. You may have all this wealth and society and friends and everything like that, but if you don't have Christ, you don't have nothing. This stuff, material things don't mean anything. What you got. I don't care how much you got or how little you got. It's nothing. But having Christ is everything. That makes you. Right there. That you got Christ on your back. And you got there looking at him for it. And he tells us, he says, now, just remember how you were before. Think of your children when they disobey you. Now, when you disobey, what do you think that does to God? That his children are disobeying him. You see time and time again an example of that in the Old Testament. You see God in action in the Old Testament. God hasn't changed. What he says, he means. And if you disobey me, you're not going to have that reward. And then once you miss that, let me tell you, you miss everything. All right, verse 15. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. There is the point at which they are commanded to decide to be pure. You have to decide to be this way. Separate yourself from sin. Sin in your life, you're not pure. Separation from sin, pure. One has the obligation to live a life worthy of God who called us into his kingdom. You got to realize what it means to be a, how blessed, what a great thing to be called a child of God. Think about your children and think how sometimes they say, yes, that's my dad. I'm proud of him. That's my mother. Look what she's done for me. All right, think about you as a child of God, what God has done for you. And be that obedient child. Because you have the best, that you can't get no better than being a child of God. Like I said, anything you have in this world is nothing compared to being a child of God. That's what your aim is. That's what you're looking for, to be a child of God. Then he tells them in verse 16, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. You find that in Leviticus 11, 44 to 45, and also 19:2 and 20th chapter, verse 7 of Leviticus. The consistent character of God is always holiness, separation from sin and impurity. And that's what you're striving for, and that's what I'm striving for. Our frame of reference is to live a separate in a world of sin is our holy God. Yes, we live in a world of sin. Sorry to say, but it is. And it's not getting any better. It's going to get worse. You see it every day, how bad it is. And we're probably just on the tip of it right now. It's going to get worse. And just like Peter's going to tell them, it's going to get worse for them too. But if you keep focus upon your God, it's going to help you. And the other great thing is, our life is short here. It's temporary. We're on a journey. It's a short journey, our life is. But eternity is forever and ever and ever. The reward is so much greater. So, because God is holy, you be holy. That's the thing we need to do, be holy. And it's not an easy task, but something we can do it. Any other questions or comments before I? All right. 17. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges, according to each one's work, conduct yourself throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, from aimless conduct received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Now, if you call on the Father, if you can call your Father, call God your Father, remember this, he is without partiality, and he judges according to each one's work. Because of the redeemed state as children of God, those that call or address God as Father must pass their time of temporary habitation on earth in reverence or respect for God. That's the reason he said, conduct yourself throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Not fear, but respect and reverence. But there is a fear of God too, because you know what you can do for him. Because he judges now according to each one's work. So how much are we working for God? How much time are we spending for him? The final judgment will be without partiality. God is loving, but he is also just. It matters not the wealth, nationality, or social standing one may have. God rewards according to the works of each person. So, doesn't make any difference what you have. How important you are, you think you are upon this earth. You may be a CEO or president of a company or whatever. Or you may just be a good blue-collar worker. Doesn't make any difference. Doesn't color make any difference about the color of your skin. Doesn't make any difference what country you live in, too. Or your social standing, you know. Everybody thinks of what their social standing and how good that is, especially our young people. It means nothing. It's vain, it's worthless, it's useless, most of it. But now, serving God, that's not vain, that's not useless. Serving God is the best thing you can ever do. And you have great respect and admiration for him and reverence for him. Knowing that he is the creator and what all he has done, you think about these things. What he has done for you and me. All your great blessings that you do have. And being one of them, being a child of God with it. Time is up. We'll start here with verse 18 come Wednesday evening. Thank you.